Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is word for word. We're in the book of Jasher. This show is for the 26th of March, 2018. Boy, how time flies. Let me give my website before we get started here, and we will jump right into this. We're going to be doing Chapter 77, 78, and 79 of the book of Jasher today. My website is https://www.pastor-steve.com. Not an interactive site. You can't leave messages or troll or do any of that. It's for download and for listening and for information. And if that's what you're looking for, that's the place to go. So let's get started in chapter 77 of the book of Jasher. It means the book of the upright, or scroll of the upright, actually. Sefer HaYashar. Ah, boy, good coffee. We left off with short, fat Adikam reigning in Mitzrayim. Verse 1, Adikam was 20 years old when he reigned over Mitzrayim. He reigned 4 years. That's a pretty short time. Verse 2, in the 206th year of Israel's going down to Mitzrayim, did Adikam reign over Mitzrayim, but he continued not so long in his reign over Mitzrayim as his fathers had continued their reign. For Melol, his father, reigned 94 years in Mitzrayim, but he was 10 years sick and died, for he had been wicked before. Okay, and basically, Yahweh killed him. Wicked before Yahweh. and he had made him a leper. And finally, the flesh just rotted off him. And he died horribly. Verse 4. And all the Mizraim called the name of Adikam Parao, like the name of his forefathers, as was their custom to do in Mizraim. Verse 5. And all the wise men of Parao called the name of Adikam Achuz, for short is called Achuz in the Mizraim language. Verse 6. And Adikam was exceedingly ugly, and he was a cubit and a span, and he had a great beard which reached to the soles of his feet. He was a little hairy midget. Verse 7. And Parao sat upon his father's throne to reign over Mizraim, and he conducted the government of Mizraim in his wisdom. Verse 8. And while he reigned, he exceeded his father and all the preceding kings in wickedness. How much more wicked could you get? I guess he really was bad. And he increased his yoke over the children of Israel. Verse 9, and he went with his servants to Goshen, to the children of Israel, and he strengthened the labor over them, and he said unto them, complete your work, each day's task, and let not your hand slacken from our work from this day forward, as you did in the days of my father. Verse 10, and he placed officers over them from amongst the children of Israel. And over these officers he placed taskmasters from among his servants. Verse 11, and he placed over them a measure of bricks, for them to do according to that number, day by day, and he turned back and went to Mizraim. Verse 12. At that time, the taskmasters of Parao ordered the officers of the children of Israel according to the command of Parao, saying, thus says Parao, do your work each day, and finish your task, and observe the daily measure of bricks. Diminish not anything. Verse 14, and it shall come to pass that if you are deficient in your daily bricks, I will put your young children in their stead. In other words, they were going to put the little kids in the walls and bury them alive. Well, that's wicked, man. Verse 15, and the taskmasters of Mizraim did so in those days that Parao had ordered them. Verse 16, and whenever any deficiency was found in the children of Israel's measure of their daily bricks, the taskmasters of Parao would go to the wives of the children of Israel and take infants of the children of Israel to the number of bricks deficient. They would take them by force from their mother's laps and put them in the building instead of the bricks. In other words, they were walling up these little babies inside buildings and letting them die. Whew. Verse 17. While their fathers and mothers were crying over them and weeping, when they heard the weeping voices of their infants in the wall of the building. Verse 18, and the taskmasters prevailed over Israel that the Israelites should place their children in the building, so that a man placed his son in the wall and put mortar over him, while his eyes wept over him and his tears ran down upon his child. Verse 19, And the taskmasters of Mitzrayim did so to the babes of Israel for many days. And no one pitied or had compassion over the babes of the children of Israel. Verse 20, and the number of all the children killed in the building was 270, some whom they had built upon instead of the bricks, which have been left deficient by their fathers. And some whom they had drawn out dead from the building. This is some serious bad stuff that they were doing. Verse 21. And the labor imposed upon the children of Israel in the days of Adikam exceeded in hardship that which they performed in the days of his father. Verse 22, and the children of Israel sighed every day on account of their heavy work, for they had said, behold, when Paraoh shall die, his son will rise up and lighten our work. Well, that didn't happen. Verse 23, but they increased the latter work more than the former, and the children of Israel sighed at this, and their cry ascended to Yah on account of their labor. Verse 24. And Yah heard the voice of the children of Israel and their cry in those days. And Yah remembered to them his covenant which he had made with Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Verse 25. And Yah saw the burden of the children of Israel and their heavy work in those days, and he determined to deliver them. Okay, well, he's watching the evil that's being done today too, folks. Okay. Verse 26, and Moshe the son of Amram was still confined in the dungeon in those days in the house of Reuel the Midiani, okay, and Zipporah the daughter of Reuel did support him with food secretly day by day. Verse 27, and Moshe was confined in the dungeon in the house of Reuel for 10 years. Verse 28, and at the end of 10 years, which was the first year of the reign of Paraoh over Egypt in the place of his father, that's when this little dwarf took over. Verse 29, Zipporah said to her father Reuel, no person inquires or seeks after the Hebrew man whom you did bind in prison now 10 years. Verse 30. Now, therefore, if it seems good in your sight, let us send and see whether he is living or dead. But her father knew not that she had supported him. Verse 31. And Reuel, her father, answered and said to her, has ever such a thing happened that a man should be shut up in a prison without food for 10 years and that he should live? In other words, he was just going to starve him to death. Verse 32. And Zipporah answered her father, saying, surely you have heard that the Elohim of the Ibri, the Hebrew, is great and awful and does wonders for them at all times. Verse 33. He it was who delivered Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, the Chaldeans. It also means a fire. Uh, he was put in an oven there and was saved. And Yitzchak from the sword of his father, and Yaakov from the messenger of Yahweh who wrestled with him at the ford of Yabbok. Because Yitzchak was not sacrificed, a ram was provided. Verse 34. Also with this man he has done many things. He delivered him from the river in Mitzrayim and from the sword of Parao and from the children of Cush. So also can he deliver him from famine and make him live. Of course she was feeding him. Verse 35. And the thing seemed good in the sight of Reuel, and he did according to the word of his daughter, and sent to the dungeon to ascertain what became of Moshe. Verse 36, and he saw, and behold, the man Moshe was living in the dungeon, standing upon his feet, praising and praying to the Elohim of his ancestors. Verse 37. And Reuel commanded Moshe to be brought out of the dungeon, so they shaved him, and he changed his prison garments and ate bread. Verse 38, and afterward Moshe went into the garden of Reuel, which was behind the house, and there he prayed to Yahweh his Elohim, who had done mighty wonders for him. Verse 39, and it was that while he prayed, he looked opposite to him, and behold, a sapphire stick was placed in the ground, which was planted in the midst of the garden. Verse 40. And he approached the stick, and he looked, and behold, the name of Yahweh, Elohim of hosts, was engraved thereon, written and developed upon the stick. Verse 41. And he read it, and stretched forth his hand, and he plucked it like a forest tree from the thicket, and the stick was in his hand. Verse 42. And this is the stick with which all the works of our Elohim were performed, after he had created heaven and earth and all the host of them, seas, rivers, and all their fishes. Verse 43. And when Yah had driven Adam from the garden of Eden, he took the stick in his hand and went and tilled the ground from which he was taken. Verse 44. And the stick came down to Noah and was given to Shem and his descendants until it came into the hand of Abraham the Hebrew. Verse 45. And when Abraham had given all he had to his son Yitzchak, he also gave to him this stick. Verse 46. And when Yaakov had fled to Padan Aram, he took it into his hand. And when he returned to his father, he had not left it. Verse 47. Also, when he went down to Mitzrayim, he took it into his hand and gave it to Yosef. One portion above his brethren, for Yaakov was taken it by force, or had taken it by force from his brother Esau. Of course, nothing of Yahweh goes with Esau. Esau's cursed. Verse 48, and after the death of Yosef, the nobles of Mitzrayim came into the house of Yosef, and the stick came into the hand of Reuel the Midiani, and when he went out of Mitzrayim, he took it in his hand and planted it in his garden. Verse 49. And all the mighty men of the Kenites tried to pluck it when they endeavored to get Zipporah, his daughter, but they were unsuccessful. That's like the sword and the stone, okay? Verse 50. So that stick remained planted in the garden of Reuel until he came who had a right to it and took it. Okay, Moshe had the right of it. Verse 51. And when Reuel saw the stick in the hand of Moshe, he wondered at it and gave him his daughter Zipporah for a wife. You can reference Exodus chapter 2, verse 21. And that is the end of chapter 77. Okay. So now we're going to start chapter 78. There's a lot of different information in here that you just don't get anywhere else. People, oh, why are you reading that? Well, it fills in a lot of gaps. That's why I'm reading it. Chapter 78, verse 1. At that time died Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, king of Edom, and was buried in his house in the land of Edom. Verse 2. And after his death, the children of Esau sent to the land of Edom and took from there a man who was in Edom, whose name was Hadad. And they made him king over them in the place of Baal-Hanan, their king. Verse 3. And Hadad reigned over the children of Edom 48 years. Verse 4. And when he reigned, he resolved to fight against the children of Moab, to bring them under the power of the children of Esau as before. But he was not able, because the children of Moab heard this thing, and they rose up and hastened to elect a king over them from amongst their brethren. Verse 5. And they afterward gathered together a great people and sent to the children of Ammon, their brethren, for help to fight against Hadad, king of Edom. Verse 6. And Hadad heard the thing which the children of Moab had done, and was greatly afraid of them, and refrained from fighting against them. Verse 7. In those days, Moshe, the son of Amram, in Midian, took Zipporah, the daughter of Reuel, the Midianite, for a wife. Verse 8. And Zipporah walked in the ways of the daughters of Yaakov. She was nothing short of the righteousness of Sarah, Rebekah, Rachel, and Leah. Verse 9, and Zipporah conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he says, I was a stranger in a foreign land, but he circumcised not his foreskin at the command of Reuel, his father-in-law. Now see, that's Reuel wasn't following the law. Verse 10, and she conceived again and bare a son, but circumcised his foreskin and called his name Eleazar. For Moshe said, because the Elohim of my fathers was my help and delivered me from the sword of Parao. Okay, verse 11. And Parao, king of Mitzrayim, greatly increased the labor of the children of Israel in those days, and continued to make his yoke heavier upon the children of Israel. Verse 12. And he ordered a proclamation to be made in Mitzrayim, saying, give no more straw to the people to make bricks with. Let them go and gather themselves straw as they can find it. Verse 13, also the tale of bricks, that means the amount of bricks, which they shall make, let them give each day, and diminish nothing from them, for they are idle in their work. That was a lie, but that's what he was doing. Verse 14. And the children of Israel heard this, and they mourned and sighed, and they cried unto Yahweh on account of the bitterness of their souls. Verse 15. And Yahweh heard the cries of the children of Israel, and saw the oppression with which the Mitzrayim oppressed them. Verse 16, and Yahweh was jealous of his people and his inheritance, and heard their voice, and he resolved to take them out of the affliction of Mitzrayim, to give them the land of Canaan for a possession. And that ends chapter 78. So now we're going to go into chapter 79. And I need to get a little drink of this coffee here. Boy, this thing is just so full of information. This has been a good read so far. It really has. Chapter 79, verse 1. And in those days Moshe was feeding the flock of Reuel the Midiani, his father-in-law, beyond the wilderness of Zin. And the stick which he took from his father-in-law was in his hand. Verse 2. And it came to pass one day that a kid of goats strayed from the flock, and Moshe pursued it and came to the mountain of Yah, to Horeb. And when he came to Horeb, Yahweh appeared there unto him in the bush. And he found the bush burning with fire, but the fire had no power over the bush to consume it. And you can reference Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. Verse 4. And Moshe was greatly astonished at the sight, wherefore the bush was not consumed. And he approached to see this mighty thing, and Yahweh called unto Moshe from the fire, and commanded him to go down to Mitzrayim, to Paro, O king of Mitzrayim, to send the children of Israel from his service. Verse 5. And Yahweh said to Moshe, go, return to Mitzrayim, for all those men who sought your life are dead. And you shall speak unto Paro to send forth the children of Israel from his land. Verse 6. And Yahweh showed him to do signs and wonders in Mitzrayim before the eyes of Paro and the eyes of his subjects, in order that they might believe that Yahweh had sent him. Verse 7, and Moshe hearkened to all that Yahweh had commanded him, and he returned to his father-in-law and told him the thing, and Reuel said to him, go in peace. Verse 8, and Moshe rose up to go to Mitzrayim, and took his wife and sons with him, and he was at an inn in the road, and an angel of Yah came down and sought an occasion against him. Verse 9. Now here's why. Now I know there are a lot of people that say we are not supposed to circumcise anymore. They don't like the rule. Verse 9, and he wished to kill him on account of his firstborn son, because he had not circumcised him and had transgressed the covenant which Yahweh had made with Abraham. Still stands today. If we are of Abraham, we are under that covenant. So, I disagree with the non-circumcisers. Okay, I'll just leave it at that. Verse 10. For Moshe had hearkened to the words of his father-in-law, which he had spoken to him, not to circumcise his firstborn son. Therefore he circumcised him not. Well, why would Yahweh want to kill this man, Moshe, for not circumcising his son if he was not serious about the law of circumcision? Okay, that's the question I asked. Why would he want to kill him? Because it's a major deal with Yahweh. That's why. And we're to obey his laws, not our opinion or what we like or dislike. Verse 11. And Zipporah saw the messenger of Yahweh seeking an occasion against Moshe, and she knew that this thing was owing to his not having circumcised her son Gershom. Verse 12, and Zipporah hastened and took another sharp rock stones that were there, and she circumcised her son and delivered her husband and her son from the hand of the messenger of Yahweh. And you can reference Exodus chapter 4, verse 25. So, we are not to pick and choose what we will obey. We are to obey. We are not to say, well, I don't like this law. Okay. I mean, you know, and that differs from some of the people. I realize that. But it's a commandment of Yahweh. And we are not to, as people, are not to set aside those commands. We don't have that authority. Verse 13. And Aharon, the son of Amram, the brother of Moshe, was in Mitzrayim walking at the riverside on that day. Verse 14, and Yahweh appeared to him in that place, and he said to him, go now toward Moshe in the wilderness. And he went and met him in the mountain of Yah, and he kissed him. And Aharon lifted up his eyes and saw Zipporah, the wife of Moshe, and her children. And he said unto Moshe, who are these unto you? Verse 16, and Moshe said unto him, they are my wife and sons, which Yah gave to me in Midian. And the thing grieved Aharon on account of the woman and her children. verse 17. And Aharon said to Moshe, send away the woman and her children, that they may go to her father's house. And Moshe hearkened to the words of Aharon and did so. Now, this was from Yahweh that wanted to get her out of the danger zone, okay? Verse 18, and Zipporah returned with her children, and they went to the house of Reuel and remained there until the time arrived when Yahweh had visited his people and brought them forth from Mitzrayim, from the hand of Pharaoh. So Yahweh wanted them gone too, or it wouldn't have happened, because he didn't want the children of Moshe put at risk. Verse 19. And Moshe and Aharon came to Mitzrayim to the community of the children of Israel, and they spoke to them all the words of Yahweh, and the people rejoiced in an exceeding great rejoicing. Pardon. Verse 20. Let me get a drink of coffee here. Verse 20. And Moshe and Aharon rose up early on the next day, and they went to the house of Pharaoh, and they took in their hands the stick of Yah. Verse 21. And when they came to the king's gate, two young lions were confined there with iron instruments, and no person went out or came in from before them, unless those whom the king ordered to come. When the conjurers came and withdrew the lions by their incantations, and thus brought them to the king. Verse 22. And Moshe hastened and lifted up the stick upon the lions, and he loosed them. Oh boy. And Moshe and Aharon came into the king's house. Verse 23. The lions also came with them in joy, and they followed them and rejoiced as a dog rejoices over his master when he comes from the field. Verse 24. And when Pharaoh saw this thing, he was astonished at it, and he was greatly terrified at the report, for their appearance was like the appearance of the children of Yahweh. In other words, they looked like angels to him. Verse 25. And Pharaoh said to Moshe, what do you require? In other words, what do you want? And they answered him, saying, Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent us to you to say, send forth my people that they may serve me. Verse 26. And when Pharaoh heard their words, he was greatly terrified before them. And he said to them, go today and come back to me tomorrow. And they did according to the word of the king. In other words, go away for now and come back tomorrow. I can't make any decisions. And they did according to the word of the king. Now here comes one of the bad actors. Verse 27. And when they had gone, Pharaoh sent for Balaam the magician, and to Yannes and Yambres his sons, and to all the magicians and conjurers and counselors which belong to the king. And they all came and sat before the king. Verse 28. And the king told them all the words which Moshe and his brother Aharon had spoken to them. And the magician said to the king, but how came the men to you on account of the lions which were confined at the gate? In other words, how did they get past those lions? Verse 29. And the king said, because they lifted up their rod against the lions and loosed them and came to me, and the lions also rejoiced at them as a dog rejoices to meet his master. Verse 30. And Balaam, the son of Beor, the magician, answered the king, saying, these are none else than magicians like ourselves. No. Verse 31. Now, therefore, send for them and let them come, and we will try them. And the king did so. Verse 32, and in the morning, Parao sent for Moshe and Aharon to come before the king, and they took the rod of Yah and came to the king and spoke to him, saying, verse 33, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, send my people that they may serve me. Verse 34, and the king said to them, but who will believe you that you are the messengers of Yah, and that you come to me by his order? Verse 35, now therefore give a wonder or sign in this matter, and then the words which you speak will be believed. And here's verse 36, and you can reference Exodus 7, verse 10. All right. Now, I'm going to explain something here. The symbol of power being right by the Nile River of Egypt was the crocodile. The Nile crocodile is the biggest in the world, and they are absolutely huge. So they were a symbol of power there. Verse 36, and you can reference Exodus 7, verse 10. And Aharon hastened and threw the rod out of his hand before Parao and before his servants, and the rod turned into a... And it has serpent here, but it was a crocodile. If you do further research on it, they changed the words. Verse 37, and the sorcerers saw this, and they cast each man his rod upon the ground. They became crocodiles. Verse 38, and the crocodile of Aharon's rod lifted up its head and opened its mouth to swallow the rods of the magicians. Ate them up. Verse 39, and Balaam the magician answered and said, this thing has been from days of old that a crocodile or serpent should swallow its fellow, and that living things devour each other. Verse 40. Now therefore restore it to a rod as it was at first, and we will also restore our rods at first. And if your rod shall swallow up our rods, then shall we know that the spirit of Yah is in you, and if not, you are an artificer like unto ourselves. Verse 41. And Aharon hastened and stretched forth his hand and caught hold of the serpent's or crocodile's tail, and it became a rod in his hand, and the sorcerers did the like with their rods. And they got a hold, each man, of the tail of his serpent or crocodile, and they became rods as at first. And when they were restored to rods, the rod of Aharon swallowed up their rods. Verse 43. And when the king saw this thing, he ordered the book of records that related to the kings of Mitzrayim to be brought. And they brought the book of records, the chronicles of the king of Mitzrayim, in which all the idols of Mitzrayim were inscribed, for they thought of finding therein the name of Yahweh, but they found it not. Verse 44. And Pharaoh said to Moshe and Aharon, behold, I have not found the name of your Elohim written in this book, and his name I know not. Verse 45. And the counselors and wise men answered the king. We have heard that the Elohim of the Ibrim, the Hebrews, is a son of the wise, a son of ancient kings. That's a lie. Verse 46, and Pharaoh turned to Moshe and Aharon and said to them, I know not Yahweh, whom you have declared, neither will I send his people. Verse 47, and they answered and said to the king, Yahweh, Elohim of Elohim is his name, and he proclaimed his name over us from the days of our ancestors and sent us, saying, go to Pharaoh and say unto him, send my people that they may serve me. Verse 48, now therefore send us that we may take a journey for 3 days in the wilderness and there may be sacrifice to him, for from the days of our going down to Mitzrayim he has not taken from our hands either burnt offering, oblation, or sacrifice. And if you will not send us, his anger will be kindled against you, and he will smite Mitzrayim either with the plague or with the sword. Ooh. Verse 49. And Pharaoh said to them, tell me now his power and his might. And they said to him, he created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all their fishes. He formed the light, created the darkness, caused rain upon the earth and watered it and made the herbage and grass to sprout. He created man and beast and the animals of the forest, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, and by his mouth, in other words, his word, they live and die. Verse 50. Surely he created you in your mother's womb and put into you the breath of life and reared you and placed you upon the royal throne of Mitzrayim, and he will take your breath and soul from you and return you to the ground from which you were taken. Ooh. Verse 51. And the anger of the king was kindled at their words, and he said to them, "But who among all the Elohim of nations can do this? My river is mine own, and I have made it for myself." In other words, I am God here. Boy, that was a mistake. Verse 52. And he drove them from him, and he ordered the labor upon Israel to be more severe than it was yesterday and before. Verse 53, and Moshe and Aharon went out from the king's presence, and they saw the children of Israel in an evil condition, for the taskmasters had made their labor exceedingly heavy. Verse 54. And Moshe returned to Yahweh and said, "Why have you ill-treated your people? For since I came to speak to Pharaoh what you did send me for, he has exceedingly ill-used the children of Israel." In other words, it's gotten worse. Well, here's what Yahweh said to him. Verse 55. And Yahweh said to Moshe, "Behold, you will see that with an outstretched hand and heavy plagues, Pharaoh will send the children of Israel from his land." So that's what's coming. Verse 56. And Moshe and Aharon dwelt among their brethren, the children of Israel, in Mizraim. Verse 57. And as for the children of Israel, the Mizraim embittered their lives with the heavy work which they imposed on them. Now that ends chapter 79. We're going to get into chapter 80 and 81 on Wednesday. This Pharaoh is making his own bed that he's going to have to lie in. And this is this little nasty dwarf dude. Yahweh today is seeing what's going on with the real children of Israel. He's watching all the machinations against us and all the evil that's being planned. So, he has not forgotten us. Don't ever think that. But he's testing us. He's seeing who's going to be true and who's not. He's separating his remnant from those that don't believe in him and don't trust in him. He's separating the sheep and the goats. And we're going to have a small number compared to the mass of population. It's not going to be everybody. It's just going to be the ones that he wants and the ones that absolutely believe and trust in Him and call on His name and follow His laws. So it's a choosing ground, and he's trying us by fire. He's doing that. Some are going to make it, some are not. But what can I say to that? It's a choosing ground. And we're going to have to choose. Now, I've made my choice, okay? Been there, done that. I have faith, I believe, and I'm trying the very best I can to act on that faith. So that'll end the show for today. I'm going to play a little music, and I will be with you on Wednesday when we're going to do chapter 80 and 81. They are very big, long chapters. And I'm going to get ready for the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first part of next month. And you should too. All praise and all glory to Yahweh. And I'll catch you again on Wednesday. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Steve, you are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.